We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Joe Sheehan.
Anybody in baseball can hit anything in 60 at-bats. It doesn't matter. When a player hits in 2 weeks, man, it just doesn't matter. The internal variance of a baseball player is much wider than whatever you think it is. These guys can get absolutely white hot for 2 weeks, and they get absolutely dead cold for 2 weeks. And it's going to look worse with a guy like Javi Baez. So it's that visceral, oh my God, how are you swinging at the 83rd consecutive slider that you know you can't reach? You get frustrated watching it. But when I look at Javi Baez, I see the same guy he was last year. He's going to swing at everything. He's going to hit the ball a lot of the time. He's going to be an incredibly valuable defender even when he's not hitting. I don't worry about 2 weeks, man. I just don't do it.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
It was Joe Sheehan with us yesterday saying, don't worry about Javier Baez. Fine, we won't worry about Javier Baez. Deal.
I'm still going
to
worry.
Okay, got baseball to talk. We got Mike Florio at 10. We're going to hear once again from Bears head coach Matt Nagy. If you missed that earlier today, he was on for a few minutes. And just a lot of positive energy coming out of Bears stuff right now, so we'll keep that rolling. Midday, midway, 1040. Brian Geltzeiler, the unmistakable voice of Geltzy, SiriusXM NBA, HoopsCritic.com, is going to break down the NBA Finals for us and these new Bulls assistant hires in Chris Fleming and Roy Rogers. I wish the Bulls assistants didn't matter quite as much as they do, but when your head coach needs a whole lot of help, you got to get him the help.
This is a bunch of life jackets all tossed around.
It's Ron Zook. This is exactly equivalent to what Illinois did with Ron Zook when they realized what they were dealing with, and they realized they had to hire a whole bunch of super experienced assistants to do everything.
What if we got a whole lot of bubble wrap and then put that around our head coach?
That's what this is.
How about we do that?
And Michael Reinsdorf always reminding us, well, Doug Collins is around and he talks to other smarter coaches. So
good idea. You know, can we get him to not talk to players? Well, that'll be tough.
It'll get better. We also have a foursome of golf at the Grand Geneva Resort and Spa in Lake Geneva, home of the Brute and the Highlands Championship golf courses. We are giving that away. You got to be listening for the opportunity to win. 312-644-6767. That's the number, WSCR, The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? Do. 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Tom Terrific belongs to one man only.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Just, it's done. Just let it be, Tommy. Go away.
Yeah, it is Seaver. It is not Brady. Stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You can watch us in the video feed. Brian Gertz directs that at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Jay Zawoski's back. Rick Camp is on the board, and the executioner, Ray Diaz, in the back doing what he does. Man, the Cub thing feels a whole lot better when Pedro Strop's back there. I would have him tell me where you think Pedro Strop is on the list of most taken-for-granted Cubs during this competitive era.
During this competitive era. Okay, so that rules out guys like Remlinger and Veers and Farnsworth and all my favorites. Jason Barré has got to come out, too. I would think that that Pedro Strop is probably atop that list, though I'd give a slight nod to Hector Rondon for what he did while he was very good, and an injury to Rondon changed the course of how the Cubs were able to use him, no doubt about it. I think Strope's got to be your guy. Most taken for granted,
Most taken for granted of this time, of their championship window. Pedro Strop has, I think he deserves more props than he's gotten. Did you know with his next appearance, it will be his 375th game? That's sixth all-time in Cubs history.
375 games make him sixth all-time in Cubs pitching history.
He will break a tie with Ryan Dempster for the sixth most games pitched in the history of the franchise.
Wow. No towel drills or anything. Just Pedro Strop out there with
his
bad
numbers.
Hammies.
His numbers over 7 years, and for what he's meant, this guy has been a high leverage reliever slash closer on really, really good teams, and he has sustained a level of quality that people just assume is there. And it's you notice it when it's not, and then it's back. And I hope you as a Cub fan, I hope you appreciate the significance of Pedro Strop.
I called him one of the best Cub relievers of all time.
Without question.
On the air one time.
Without question.
And the texters annihilated me. And
They're wrong.
Like, where have you all been since 2014?
They're wrong. I'll do the numbers after you get done, Zipek.
So even though you never anointed Pedro as your closer more often than not, he wasn't the ninth inning tonight.
Yeah.
Are you going to just play it by your now going forward?
Right now, like for instance tonight, Brock's good, C-Sheck's good, Kinsler's good. So you're probably going to figure out that seventh and eighth inning among those guys. With that in mind, I would probably want to save Stropey for the ninth because I feel good about those other guys matching up. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, Sheck's really good right there. I haven't even seen their lineup yet, but Brock could be good there. There's a lot of guys that can be good there. So more than likely, I will keep him for the ninth inning, yes.
Cubs looking to improve to 33-26 on the season. Looking to end the Rockies' winning streak at 8. The 2-2. Ground ball hit in the hole at short. Backhand bias from the outfield grass. The throw to first in time. Fly the W. Cubs win again. Second straight victory as they beat the Rockies 6-3.
Zach Zaidman with a good, clean, energetic call of
Hell
the
yes.
final out on these airwaves last night.
Also good, clean, and energetic.
And we have a poll up on our Twitter page
Polls
at Bernstein _MCK. And it says, Dan Bernstein says, Pedro Strop is the most taken for granted Cub of this era. Agree? So go ahead and vote. I voted because let the record show, I agree because I said it.
Real twist would be if you sandbagged your own Twitter poll 5 minutes into the show.
If I disagreed with myself. No,
I hate myself so much that I'm going to vote against myself in this Twitter poll. Here are some other options for you before you get to the empirical data that proves your point, one which I happen to agree with. Your other options, I think, for underrated relievers in this
not
era.
Not just relievers, underrated Cub.
Okay, underrated Cub of this era. I was
going not underrated, taken for granted.
Let's just go through relievers for a moment. Travis Wood mattered to this ball club for quite some time.
He really did.
Travis Wood mattered.
And he played left field.
And he played left, and he hit a little bit too, and he pinch ran some. Hector Rondon is one that I would tell you is a bridge guy, as a closer, got you there, a developmental Rule 5 pickup for this organization that's been trying to develop pitchers for quite some time. Do you remember, I know you do, Cubs fans will remember this too. As soon as I say, you'll be like, oh God, yeah, that happened. Trevor Cahill and Clayton Richard both got big outs in playoff games.
Yep.
Like when Joe was down to nothing, Cahill and Clayton Richard got big outs. But I think you're right, especially when you pair with the fact that this guy, in terms of taken for granted,
that's what I mean.
He's the other half of the greatest trade, perhaps, in Cubs history. You gave away Scott Feldman and a slightly racist catcher for Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop. That's a huge deal.
His next appearance will make him the sixth most used pitcher as far as games played in the history of the franchise. In 7 years as a Cub, he has an earned run average in these 374 games, 343 innings pitched. His earned run average is 270. His fielder independent pitching is 3.04. His ERA plus, which is, again, it's like OPS plus.
Park adjusted.
You park adjusted, era adjusted, run environment adjusted, and any number above or below 100 is your percentage at which you are better or worse than average. Mm-hmm. His ERA plus is 151 as a Cub. That means he is half again better than the other pitchers of his era. It's remarkable.
Other guys you might have taken for granted in this run, Dexter Fowler is a guy that I think some Cubs fans may overlook the importance of him defensively even at times, but then his absence has made him so missed, so fondly missed by Cubs fans, so I think you'd have to take him out. Miguel Montero was a big part of that team getting good again. And his dismissal, like just outright dismissal from the team, probably has him pushed to the background some. But he was very big.
Yeah, but with this guy,
Pedro Strop, though.
This guy's just always there doing what he does at important moments. This segment brought to you by Comcast Business. Every day, Comcast Business is helping businesses big and small go beyond the expected to do the extraordinary. Because beyond a simple transaction, there is making a customer for life. Comcast Business, beyond fast. Take your business beyond at ComcastBusiness.com.
I just kind of think watching Strop last night, and admittedly, like he's not a perfect reliever. No one is. He's blown some saves. And I think as good as he is and as underrated as he's been, he's probably better served to this team specifically and to himself to be that, I don't know, quote unquote, eighth inning guy. Not like Ned Yost used guys in just the eighth inning or whatever, but just, you know, that guy that's not the back end closer. He's been able to do it for you, and that makes him just the more valuable. The other part of this, though, is you kind of see where a lot of Cubs fans, you and I included as we watch this team, have been rooting for that team to add 2, 3, maybe even 4 more strikeouts to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
You see how much more comfortable it is to have 1 or 2 more strikeouts just in the last 7 or 8 outs of the game. You then feel what it would be like to bump another 2 strikeouts into that bullpen once you've got a healthy Pedro Strop. It's very clear how, at least in my opinion, adding those numbers, adding that kind of production to the back end of a game, pushing Strops into the eighth, so to speak, pushing a little bit more Cshek into the seventh, that kind of stuff. It feels, it's a compounding effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like
cascades.
In terms of knowing you can get those outs that way.
815 says Strop also has incredible swagger and style.
Oh,
773
yes,
texter says, you know what? He's also been such a good dude. Yeah, he really is.
They love him.
He really is. He's a sweetheart of a guy.
When they were looking for a pick-me-up in the midst of a really crappy 45 days last year, they had a Pedro Strop-themed road trip. Do you understand how few players in baseball can take that kind of a joke?
Yeah,
and enjoy it?
When we were at a game last year, remember when you and I were there super early for a game and we were hanging out in front of the dugout?
Yeah.
Talking to somebody, and out of nowhere, there's a tap on my shoulder, and it's Pedro Strop, and he looks at me and goes, "Hello, I'm Pedro," and shook my hand like, "Hi, I'm Dan. Nice to meet you, Pedro."
That's the whole story, though.
And then he did the same to you.
Yes, but remember, we were standing next to a couple of people who have been like brought down by the Cubs to like be part of the dugout or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, like fans or something like that were there down or whatever.
Right,
and we were, but not that close to them. We were standing like 2 or 3 steps away from them toward Joe's little
came up
perch.
Right, we're wearing credentials and the whole thing. Right,
and he just keeps shaking hands all the way down the line.
Hello, I'm Pedro. Hi, Pedro.
It's wonderful to meet you.
Yes.
Thank you so much
for
introducing yourself.
Smiling and off he went. I said, okay, didn't know that was an expectation.
No, you get with your credential. You get a handshake from Pedro Strop. A
lot more we have to get to also.
Yeah, there's another piece from Joe Maddon's words last night that matter some. He spoke with Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. We will relay those comments. But the way Carlos Gonzalez, I think, has kind of kept Albert Almora in a certain spot, the way it looks from the outside is the way Joe's thinking about it as well. And I'm a little surprised by it. I think you might be too. We'll get to it next. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
To what extent is he helping Hobbie? You know, hitting behind him right now too. He is a professional. I'm gaining conversation. I'm getting to know him a little bit more, just a little back and forths we're doing. It's going to be fun watching him blossom as a Cub.
That's Joe Maddon. I hope he doesn't, you know, fall too deeply in love with the guy who still has to prove he's got a rebound in him here.
You're talking about Carlos Gonzalez, right?
I am.
You know, you mentioned it yesterday when we had Joe Sheehan on, and I kind of thought about it for a second. I do love the storyline of old veteran with something just a little bit left in the tank and a whole lot to prove. Comes back and puts up your 60 at-bats, your 100 at-bats, or something like that, and matters for a contender. You know, I don't think the Jim Edmonds story, right? When he came to the Cubs and everybody hated him, but then he performed and people got back in line. I get that, and I love that storyline. But I also worry about, like, manager sticks with old salty vet too long because he is old.
That's
and salty.
Called, we refer to that in Chicago as Quenvilling.
Yeah, I don't love that so much. And I'm not saying that Joe's doing that or really even that he's in danger of doing that. I kind of think the opposite right now. You've picked up Cargo. You have him. You may as well use him because you have him. See what he's got left, because if you could find a little bit of spark there, that would mean a hell of a lot. We talked about what that extra left-handed bat does in the lineup and how you could space some things out, how that all lefty lineup of Schwarber and Hayward and Cargo was very interesting, what with a lot of other right-handed bats. But what that means is a certain something for a young center fielder who had been the focus of a lot of conversation going into the season about whether or not he was going to step up into a full-time role.
First round pick.
And be, you know, be an impact player, be part of the core, as opposed to kind of a super platoon guy. Mark Gonzalez of the Trib talked with Joe about Albert Almora. And Joe says it's no warm and fuzzy. We're just trying to win games. I'm trying to balance it out as well as we possibly can. I still think hitting left-handers is his forte. Albert's done a better job against righties in terms of this year. He's really refined his approach there. He's been a lot more patient. He's chased fewer. He's hit some homers. He's done a nice job of reinventing himself from the right side. But regardless of what that says, he hits lefties really well, and I believe that. Splits don't exactly bear that out for Albert this year, but it's, you know, it's kind of still a little bit early to be doing splits for lefties and righties.
Yeah, that really stands out to me, though. When for him to offer the phrase "no warm and fuzzy," like don't look for me to make anybody feel better here because we're trying to win games. And it's a little odd that this guy off the scrap heap, and maybe there's a Zobrist component here, maybe there's a clubhouse component. We know they believe in this. We know that when he uses those terms, and Madden says he's a grown up, he's an adult. Patrick Mooney had a really good story about that today, comparing the way he talked about some of these guys, or talked about Daniel Murphy. That, you know, Joe does believe in that kind of veteran presence in a clubhouse when you're trying to win something.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of veteran presence in that clubhouse. Well, I guess I can't quantify it. I'm not in there every day, so that'd be kind of dumb. But still, you've got a well-gelled clubhouse, a lot of guys who have been in there together for a long time. I can't help but think of a conversation we had with Theo Epstein a couple of months ago, and we asked him about that development versus trying to win now. And he kind of pressed on this idea that, yeah, we have had to compromise some of that for some of the winning, but we've won a lot of games, the most in the National League, the most in baseball over the last 4 years. We won a World Series. Like, that's what we had to do. And we're happy making that trade-off, given that we've won because of it. I've not been, how should I say this? I've not been a huge believer in Albert Almora offensively. Joe Sheehan, who we had on yesterday, has absolutely been that guy.
Yeah, he calls himself the top Albert Almora honk.
And that's he's smarter than I am. He gets to say that, but I get to say my thing too. There are those who pump for Schwarber, those who pump for Almora. And while Almora has been a lot better this year than I thought he would be, I really kind of figured that this season would be one where Schwarber and Almora and a guy like Happ, before he got sent down, would be given opportunity to perhaps at the detriment overall of the lineup, because you've got to see what's in there. That's not been the case. They keep pressing on the winning thing, which I guess they get credit for.
This segment's brought to you by Door Systems. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR. On the north side, it's Mike. He is on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Hey, you know, this has been bugging me since it happened. Nothing against Gonzalez, but I don't understand. Hayward, I get, is a left-handed bat. Schwarber's a left-handed bat. They're that much better than Almora. Almora is a better hitter right now than Hayward. Schwarber will give you that home run. I get it. But Almora, besides being one of the best defensive players in baseball, is, I think, right now just a more. When Almora got to play every day, that's when he looked his best over this last month. I don't get it. I mean, Schwarber hit a home run yesterday. He's way too inconsistent. Hayward, I really want him so bad to do well, but he's just too inconsistent. You're going to tell me that their bats, just because they're left-handed, are that much better than Almora, that Almora is sitting because of them every day? I don't get it.
The numbers, Mike, are really ordinary with Almora, and the biggest problem with Almora is an on-base average of .298. He's just out too often.
And even in his most consistent month, which I agree was his most consistent month and one in which he looked like a steady at bat, The line across the board, the slash line, average on base and slugging for Almora in May, in which he played 23, started 23 games and played in 28. He hit 258. His on base was 287. And he slugged 536, which is a clear 100 plus points over his career slugging average. But still, it's nice to see a little extra pop, especially with baseball doing what it's doing in this day and age. But that's not full-time player kind of stuff. I still think that's a shade under the development curve that they'd hoped he would be on. And Joe's seen that. I mean, in that way, Joe and the front office have been in lockstep for a lot of years.
We can discuss this with Theo Epstein tomorrow at 11 a.m. when he joins us. There will be a lot on our list, many topics to discuss. Look forward to talking to Theo. You won't want to miss that tomorrow at 11. Another thing not to miss, on Friday, come out and see us. We're at the ballpark.
It's going to be awesome.
We're going to be out in the right field porch from 9 to noon, and then Lawrence is going to be there until Cubs pregame at 12:45. So you can see the shows, start your weekend early with The Score, your radio home for Chicago Cubs baseball.
On the other side, we'll switch to a little football. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, is going to join us in just a few minutes. It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.